Welcome to season 4, episode 1 of the Average Black Girl podcast. Today I have two lawyers with me, and we're going to be talking all about branding and personal branding and how they've used that to leverage where they're going in life. So I have Leslie Guam, who I've gone to college with, so I've known her for such a long time. And then I have Christopher that I've met through social media, and he's actually went to law school with Leslie, so you guys can kind of talk about this journey together. So go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Okay, well, as Danielle said, my name is Leslie Guam. I'm an attorney in Chicago, born and raised in the Midwest, went to University of Illinois undergrad, ILL. And then I went to DePaul Law, where I graduated from in 2014, been practicing insurance law since then. However, I am now taking a turn and going to UCLA for my MBA. Why, thank you. So kind.
Hey, everyone. My name is Christopher Woyemi, born and raised in Chicago. Went to college at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. Then went to DePaul University for law school. That's where me and Leslie first met, became good friends. Also an attorney here in Chicago, been practicing labor and employment law for the last 3 years now. Time is going by fast.
Does fly.
And, you know, I'm happy for Leslie doing exciting things in Cali.
Thank you. No more winter.
Yeah.
You'll probably be back here for winter, though, for Christmas.
Not all of it.
No.
Yeah, why must we secure these things?
Okay. So I guess the first thing I want to talk about is personal branding. So I'm sure at Morehouse you talk about branding and how to kind of navigate yourself within, you know, different spaces, specifically white spaces. So I really want you guys to give maybe 3 tips to people listening that maybe want to be lawyers, or they're just starting to graduate college, or they're maybe wanting to, you know, you had to rebrand yourself for business school. So talk about some of the things, 3, that you utilize to get you to the next level.
I'd say the biggest thing has been consistency. My passion has always been media and entertainment. Even in undergrad, I was involved in music groups. I had a music blog. Throughout law school, I was involved in the entertainment groups. I was a constant presence at a lot of rap shows, which, like, there weren't too many girls there, so I started to be recognized. I'm a friend with a lot of artists as well, and even since then, I've been involved in the entertainment space, both locally and for, like, larger record labels. So I've been pretty consistent in just telling people that music is my thing, particularly hip-hop. I'd also say engaging with people. Don't just have a bunch of social media followers. Actually reach out to them, ask for advice, ask questions, just ask them about themselves. Mm-hmm. Because having a bunch of followers but not knowing anything about them isn't really useful. Mm. And the last thing I would say is just be open. Try different things. I've always known I want to work in entertainment, but I haven't always been sure exactly what role. So I've engaged in some artist management. I've done promotions, publicity work, content management. And I've learned something from each of those roles. So it's just, I would say, don't be afraid to venture out.
So what are you going to do now with business school? What do you think within music, right?
Excellent question. Music or television? Okay. Honestly, they're starting to combine. I'm really feeling the idea of working in licensing.
Okay.
Because that is going nowhere. It's actually just growing. As the music industry dies, that's how music is getting heard, through TV, through commercials, etc., and even streaming. Mm-hmm. So, thinking somewhere in that space.
Awesome. So, are you going to be chronologically in your like journey through figuring out that B school and music?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm going to school in LA. So, I mean, at Hip Hop Industries is the Instagram if y'all want to follow.
Okay.
Follow the journey. The brand is strong. Shout out to Jesus and Meryl.
Funny. So 3 tips that I would say. One idea to get from college, I would say making a great first impression / first appearance. And, you know, you kind of hate to admit it, but how you look and how people first encounter you goes a long way. Not necessarily, you know, being physically attractive, but even just putting how you dress and how you carry yourself. Although I did remember reading this fact, I can't quote it, but they said essentially, like, if a job was offered to an attractive person or an unattractive person, the attractive person usually gets a job. And so that does go a long way. And I remember at Morehouse, I can't remember what, maybe about junior or senior year, they came and had Brooks Brothers come in and give this whole presentation to us about how to dress, about suit patterns, suit colors, mixing and matching, you know, when you're in meetings or formal events, what shoes to wear. I mean, and those things go a long way. And then fast forward to law school, I remember meeting, she was an HR person with the city. I ain't gonna drop her name, but but she gave me an opportunity and she knew I wasn't necessarily qualified for, but I just gave off a good first impression for her. Like on paper, I wasn't really qualified. I didn't have the years into it, but I gave her a good first impression to her, you know? Then the second tip would be close to what Leslie said about consistency. But I would kind of put it as make your niche known. So for example, I practice labor and employment law, and that's not necessarily I was necessarily wanting to get into, but a lot of doors and opportunities were open to me because one, it's a very select field. And then two, because I am a black man, there's, you know, very few of me in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do at this point do have the extended background, and it's been opening a lot of doors to me so far. And then the third tip, I guess what we said, would be open. You know, I think we all necessarily have a set plan in place when we, you know, beginning things. Mm-hmm. But a lot of things come then sidetracks that and we go off script and we don't know where that takes us. And I think a lot of times I can say, you know, as a witness, that has always led to bigger and better things by being open. So
I agree with everything you guys are saying. This is why I had you guys on my show, right? Because you're giving the real. One example that I have of just kind of being dressing for the part is my internship. So my internship was with L'Oreal USA, and I was doing it through this program called MLT. And so before that, they had never hired anybody from MLT as an intern. But when I came to present, I had like a pink background. I had a pink shirt. Mm. And they were like, they noticed that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I got the internship based off of matching. There you go. Mm. And they were like,
Gotta coordinate.
I didn't even know, right? And so when I got there, I noticed that they do casting calls, but they do casting calls within their organization and outside because they hire pretty people. Wow. So it was like, hey, who wants to be on this? Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, this how this works? So, you know, just figuring it out. And if you don't know what to do, like at this point, there's no excuse. There's YouTube, there's Pinterest. Like you can figure out how to put it together. There's so many up and coming, like mini stylists around here. You can definitely ask questions. But for me, like one of the things that I looked at was my industry standard, right? Mm-hmm. So The Devil's Wear Prada had like just came out. Like I already knew a lot of the things before I got into it. And I knew that within U of I, like we are a great school, but a lot of our industries are depending on who gives us money. Absolutely. So they weren't, L'Oreal was not present, like Caterpillar was and things like that. So I was like, let me get out of the box of wearing a black suit because that's what they do. And let me go look at what fashion is talking about. Mm-hmm. And that really was able for me to fit in, like when in Rome do what Romans mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. You really have to have that, especially there's such a different corporate culture. And so understanding that and asking questions. So that's one of the things that I would look at. And now you have no excuse. You can go on LinkedIn and see who worked there. And then from there, you can go and look at their Facebook and see how they dress. And now it's like done deal.
Mm, that's true.
So I don't call it stalking. I call it corporate stalking because it comes back to who wants it more. Like who wants it?
There's levels.
But yeah, there's levels because then it gets a little weird.
Corporate stalking is not. It's like I need to know who this person is. I need to know what they look like.
Yeah.
And if they have kids, like, you know, you got to throw something in there.
I mean, the end goal is appropriate. So it's not.
Yeah. Or
it's
okay. For me, like, I'm really good at reaching out to the secretary.
Yeah.
I will figure out who the secretary is and I will call her.
That's smart.
And they will They will tell you who's mean, who's not. They will even schedule you an interview or a coffee time.
Yep.
It just all depends. People are like, how you getting these jobs? How you getting this? Like, because I'm calling people.
Right. Yes. Y'all just, real big.
Yeah. Yes. Like, it's just all about who wants it more. And yeah, I've never had any secretary tell me no.
Really?
Because I'm nice. You talk nice and they bored.
That is true. That is true.
And they're happy that you, they are the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
You're right.
You gonna call the CEO? What's she gonna say? Yeah. Like, let me call somebody else.
She don't even know her own schedule.
She don't. She gonna refer you to that.
Yeah. That's true.
But again, it became because I knew from working behind the doors, that's how it works. Mm-hmm. But L'Oreal, you just email the secretary and they'll schedule you. You want to talk to this person? Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
So again, it's all about strategy. Yes. Like, don't just be out here like, I need a job. Like, think about it now. Okay, now I want to get into what's on everybody's airwaves, everybody's Instagram. It's the End My Feelings Challenge. So, Miss Hip Hop Mistress, I really want you to kind of figure out and explain to us how Drake is able to have summer bangers year after year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that it was going to be another song, and it's Drake. So,
yeah.
Do you have any response to that?
Drake has the best marketing team hip hop has seen in a long time.
How did the challenge start? Do you know?
I honestly don't know how the challenge started. Okay. I know how to do something with Shiggy, who I had never heard of until this challenge.
Who?
Shiggy?
Chingy?
No.
Shiggy.
Shiggy. Chingy cool though.
Shiggy in
where'd he come
Valley,
from?
Right?
Oh, is he? I thought he was still in St. Louis.
No, he's like an investor now.
Word.
He in St. Louis. I mean San Francisco.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
I thought he had long money like that.
Mm-hmm. He's been investing.
Okay. I'm looking you up then.
Yeah. I'll send you the article.
Well, yes. Thank you.
Good for him, because that one hit was too
and
long
he
ago.
Stopped.
Anyway.
But you see, he sometimes is in like the front row seats of certain games.
Oh, no. I think you're talking about Chameleonaire.
Oh, is that what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Chameleonaire.
My bad.
Yeah.
You're right.
Chameleonaire.
See, this is why I'm not hip hop.
Yeah.
Okay, so back
anyway,
to Drake.
Yeah.
Great. So, yeah, Drake has had one of the best marketing teams ever, and I say that because my belief, which I have no concrete proof of, but a lot of these, like, memes and stuff, I think those has been his team putting that stuff out.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yes. And so just that's consistency keeps Drake in the forefront at all times. So when he's ready to drop a banger, he does. He's already on your mind.
Yeah. Because Burberry was looking for people to create memes.
Yeah.
They were hiring people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, I mean, Drake is no different. He's a brand.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's why I think Drake is able to be so consistent with summer hits. And I mean, he's everyone's favorite, right? Women love him. Men love him.
So let's unpack that. Because women do love him as he was like the good guy and like in his feelings. But the fact that he like got a porn star, like, and he could have really been with any type of woman.
Right.
And the fact that Rihanna didn't want him. I feel like she knew something that we didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that he may be, like, one of those people that's, like, a womanizer, or he's one of those people that is, like, I'm a good guy, and so you should like me because I'm a good guy, and if you don't like me, then your life is going to be horrible, and nobody going to love you because you didn't want me because I'm a good guy. I'm getting, like, those vibes from him now.
You know, Amanda Seales said on her podcast that Drake is the kind of guy who will do one nice thing for you and then hold it on over your head forever.
See?
And I was like, low key, he
or
rapped
like,
about
I've been,
it.
I've been respectful to you tonight. Give me sex.
Yeah.
that's not how it works.
I remember one song, How About Now, where he's like, I drove through the snow for you,
and I went
to church for you, and I'm not even Christian. It's like, well, thank you. I don't remember asking you to do that, but okay.
So see, that's a lot.
Yeah, but.
See, that makes me feel like he don't fight fair.
Probably,
you know,
he doesn't fight at all.
I mean, like arguing, like fight fair.
No, I agree with you. I think he's one of the people that don't like confrontations.
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of got that pettiness streak in him.
Oh yeah.
Why women like him? I mean, you know, he showed that sensitive, emotional side. You know, and you know, he take advantage of you know, how should I say, you guys' vulnerabilities.
And men, because y'all are really filling Marvin's room when that song dropped.
Ooh.
Touche.
So I think that's why he's such a big superstar, because people can identify him on many levels. Because when he raps, like, when he's rapping in his real, like, cocky MC bag, he can really get it there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he also does the pop thing where he's singing and making, like, anthems
love
for women.
Songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or regret songs.
Right.
Trey Song used to be really good at that.
Yeah, they always work together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's also, I think, also about quantity. I remember somebody talking about this in terms of Rihanna and how Rihanna, okay, she ain't the best singer, she ain't the best dancer, but
right.
like what consistently keeps her, you know, number one on charts. And it's just over the last, 10 years, every year she has almost had an album out.
Yeah. Mm. Right? And they've actually gotten better too.
Yeah, like, and that's a good thing.
She had a better team.
Yeah.
She probably went and got a singing coach
for that pitch. I think she did.
And her swag is just amazing,
which
is what people like. People want to be her.
Yeah. Exactly. That's
she got
what
that
it is.
Madonna factor.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Every girl can relate to her in some capacity, even if that's not the what you portray up front.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can always say, like, you know, I'm a Rihanna.
Right.
like maybe Monday or Tuesday, and then, you know, she's go back to being animal. A church girl on Wednesday, yep. Thursday, whatever.
Exactly. But yeah, you're not a big Pusha fan.
Got it.
He's not a commercial artist at all.
You're not going to twerk to Pusha T.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Okay, so speaking of twerking, one last music person. Teyana Taylor and her I Done Had a Threesome, Let Me Push This So I Can Sell Some More Albums tour.
What?
Like, what is going on? First of all, she was a virgin. I do not believe her, but why is she using that as selling? That's not how sex saleable.
Well, yes, but let's not forget she's on Good Music, which is Kanye's label. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget who Kanye is married to.
So, okay, but... So did her album do, have you listened to it? Did it do well? Did it do bad? I think that she was very disappointed with it. It was a 5-single album. The visuals never came out. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it time for her to leave Good Music?
I think it is.
I was like, why are we, you don't know this? I think
she needs to stop working or be at least being signed to big producers.
Yes.
She was signed to Pharrell at first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They made dope music here and there, but it wasn't consistent. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she asked to be out of that deal. She got out of it and ended up with Good Music, where she's also unhappy. I feel like if she went to another label where she was actually the focus, we would have more music from her that was good. Because her last album was great, but it's because, not her last album, like the most recent one, but the one before that.
Yeah.
Because it was so great, because a lot of the music she had had in the vault all that time between Pharrell and Kanye.
If it take you 10 years to write some music, it's going to be the best album of your life.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So if she went somewhere else where she was the focus, I think she could really be a bigger star, because the girl has it. Like, she mm-hmm. is an amazing singer. Mm-hmm. We've all seen her dance.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen her act. I've never actually seen it in her movies.
But she's on the Hit the Floor, though.
Yeah, I haven't seen that before either, but I'm sure she's probably good at that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she could really be it, if not for the label problems.
Well, I mean, that's the answer to your question.
So,
like,
for me,
why
I think it's
it.
Branding issues.
Yeah?
So, remember when Faye came out?
Yeah.
Why didn't she have in the next 7 days a workout video?
Very true.
You know what I mean? Very like, that's why Kim K is so well. The sex tape made everybody aware, but then they went ahead and had that reality TV show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everybody else be like, oh, it's a sex tape. I want it to go away. Like, no, better ride this way.
Well, who would have thought Jenner. That, though?
But that's what you have to do. Like, as soon as you get your 5 minutes of fame, like, ride it. She didn't do anything with it.
Mm. Yeah. Teyana Taylor needs a Kris Jenner.
A white
man. Everybody need a Kris Jenner. Kris Jenner, if you looking for more people, hi, I'm here, boo. I'm here.
That might work for you, a black man.
Travis Scott is actually signed with her.
You got
now.
A bunch. Oh, you got, really? They got a bunch of black men.
And they
that.
Just got on. I don't know. What they was sell, that they new sold. Album that they just did? The Ooh. Album cover? I mean, not the magazine
cover.
Oh, GQ.
GQ. Yeah, I saw that today.
That's Kris Jenner working.
Well, I'll be down.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a smart thing
well,
he ever
did. What
you
think about the daughter? what's the daughter? And she was on the cover of, what, Fortune magazine? The same
yeah, that's the one he's with her.
Oh, Kylie. Okay,
that's
okay,
it,
okay.
That's her man.
Well, all right, good for Travis Scott.
I mean, he hit a lick, right?
Yeah.
If you going to pick one, pick the billionaire.
Pick the young billionaire. That's what's up.
Not a bad idea at all.
I mean, I'm not gonna just hate on Kylie. We talked about her last time, but you know, at the end of the day, Lil Mama smart compared to Rob, she killing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I still believe they do something to men. They just eat them up. Anyway,
they eat them up. I mean, I don't know, but it's probably. I don't know. What do you think about Khloé?
You know, she's just falling right in line. She's kind of following her sister's blueprint in terms of. Any publicity is good publicity, which I'm just not drawn to.
That baby looks like it's a 1/3 white. I'm going to leave it at that. OJ to daddy.
Some testing needs to be.
That baby's dark as I am.
But Khloé don't look mixed.
Neither do Sophia Richie.
Neither does Rashida Jones, you're right.
Girl, the DNA come out when that baby was born. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, so on to the next topic. I definitely want to talk about the recent events of police being called on very petty, non-life-threatening, non-reason things. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, I thought, hilarious. They were playing a pickup game at a fitness center, and a guy felt that he was fouled too hard because of a pick, and he called the police for assault. The police came, they laughed, and they left. However, you know, I think that what white people or anybody that calls the police are doing is they want a reaction, right? Mm-hmm. I can't physically assault you, because then I would be in trouble. So I'm going to have the police do it for you.
Right.
And so with that being said, you know, what is the proper conversation and or protocol for that? Like, for me, if somebody calls the police on me, I'm leaving. Why would I stay?
Right.
I think that that's like, people don't know, because it's like, well, I haven't done anything. So if you haven't done anything, that's true. Like, I understand why you want to stay. But the reason that they're doing it is because they want to make your life, you know, a living hell. They want to show that in this white space, I still have the upper hand on you.
Right.
So the same thing happened with CVS. Mm-hmm. Using a manufacturer's coupon, they called it because the coupon didn't work.
You know, it reminds me of, I just heard D.L. Hughley say this.
The most dangerous place for black people to live is in white people's imagination.
Yes.
He said, you know, well, yeah, white people's own misperceptions of who we are and their own, you know, fraudulent thoughts about our makeup places us in fear.
Right.
And so, honestly, I think the police need to start finding these people.
Right. Yeah. Don't find these businesses, find these people,
yep, you know, wasting taxpayer dollars.
Exactly. I feel like these people
to come out here and deal with this foolishness.
So, okay, lawyers.
I mean, they're taking the idea of like public servant too literally. Like, the police do not work for you, and they are not there to get rid of any inconvenience for you. Mm-hmm. They're there to handle crime. Mm. None of that is a crime.
I also think like, they are really pushing this, like, I'm in a fear of my inconvenience. Like, you enslaved us. How are we a danger to you?
Let us not forget.
Historically, you the one that went throughout the entire world and fucked up everybody's tribes.
Right.
But we're the ones, you know? So yeah, I just feel nuisance. Like, yeah, we're the nuisance.
Right.
We weren't a nuisance. We were sharecropping.
True.
You know, so true. I'm confused. We weren't a nuisance when we were breastfeeding your children.
You know, but honestly, not even honestly. No, honestly. I don't know if this might sound wrong, but it seems like
white people
had a little convention in April and said this is only going to be on our agenda for summer 2018, because it's just getting ridiculous how week after week the same damn story.
Yeah.
Is it happening?
Like, and you know, and you
is,
know
is this really a joke at some point?
Right.
Like, you guys,
and that's where can't seriously continue to do this. Would come in handy, but it's just such a slippery slope. Because you don't want that to discourage people from who need to actually call the police.
People know when they need to call.
Yeah.
Real crimes is when you're actually in danger.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But not because somebody's selling water outside your house and you're annoyed that they keep saying water.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know if it's something new. I just think it's being recorded.
That's true.
Like, I get... You know, I hate when people are like, well, this is all happening now. It's like, no, police were just shooting first and they didn't have a chance to explain mm-hmm. what was being called,
yep.
right? Or people were just lying. Like, the girl today, she called the police on this guy and his pregnant wife mm-hmm. because they had left, like, boba tea. And she was like, this mob attacked me. It was two people, him and, like, a 7-month pregnant lady, right?
Wow.
So, if... The police are saying, she's saying mob on the phone. Mm-hmm. When they get there, they see it's not. But what if they thought that was the last people from the mob? You
right.
know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you really never know what really, like Emmett Till, you never know what actually happened. You just know the end result was somebody died.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I get that. I mean, what can be done going forward? Like I said, I still like my finding idea.
I like it too.
Yeah. Because you at this point, you're wasting my tax dollars.
Right.
On.
You're misusing it.
Was misusing it, yeah.
And I think, because it's like, there is like a fine if you call 911 and it's not an emergency.
Exactly.
But a lot of these white people are calling the non-emergency phone, so then they can't get fined.
Mm.
Ah, see, that's another point.
Yeah.
That goes in my conspiracy
theory. Like the guy
theory.
That was mowing
yeah.
the lawn, they caught the non-emergency one on him,
mm.
which is why nothing happened.
They found the hack.
I really think they had like a secret convention.
I mean.
Just like when they all decided to vote for Trump.
He's gonna save over Hillary, right? But then at the last minute, when we get in the booth,
we doing what we want to do,
right?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Trump, so can any of you guys, for the people, explain what happened this week?
Oh my goodness,
is it treason? Is it not? What's going on?
I feel like it's treason, but I don't work in politics. I don't know, but I mean, just to go in front of the world stage and say. No, FBI, CIA, they're wrong. Russia didn't do anything. Putin is my boy. He's right here. Like, no, that sounds like you're going against your country as the president, which sounds a lot like treason. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, his whole theme during the election was America first. America first, remember?
Yeah.
And it's America first until you get with your boy in Russia. And then if you notice during that press conference he had with Putin, the only time someone used their first name was when Putin called him Donald. Like, and every time, you know, Trump referred to Putin, he was like, oh, Mr. Putin, President Putin.
Word, I didn't notice that.
And Putin called him, you know, Donald. I agree with Donald, and Donald's right. And I was like, ah, something, you can't tell me that.
All
right,
boy.
Yeah.
That's what that
right.
was.
It was like, yeah, like, I dare you to say something. Like, it was, right. You can't tell me that the Russia and Putin has some deep, deep dirt on Trump.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Because the way that he's just selling us out is embarrassing. I mean, and even Republicans, like, to get them credit, you know, for one thing, even they admit it, at least with this last incident, that, all right, this just went too far.
Like, because even Republicans love their country. So it's like, it's not even like we're fighting over issues. It's like, you're supposed to be on America's side.
Yeah, right.
This is like when you have a fight and you still mad at your parents outside the house. You gotta act like everything's fine. Yeah, yeah. No brain is outside the house. Yeah. And it's like, what you doing? We got issues, but like, it's not for the world.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it's supposed to be.
And don't tell your quote unquote enemy at that.
Oh,
it's just
friends.
A pattern.
Right.
I
but
mean,
nationally it's supposed to be an enemy.
It's just the same pattern. Because remember, like, after he fired Comey, they said maybe the next day he had the Russian ambassador in the White House, and there was pictures of him just laughing it up, cheesing so hard, you know. So that's what that reminded me of. It's like, it ain't nothing new. This is what he's been doing. Those, you know, and I get it. You know, they got you elected. You got to take care of them. Like, I get it. Quid pro quo. That's how deals work.
Right.
Especially in Trump's world.
On the golf course.
You know. He not going to never take golfing.
Right.
Yeah. The world could blow up. He's still going to be in Florida.
Mar-a-Lago,
I'm going to go ahead into the branding section for the course. So for anybody that's interested in really developing your branding, I have the Branding 101 course that's available at the Above Average University. The link is going to be in the description. But the first thing I want everybody to think about is I really want you guys to think about finding your branding personality. Now, finding your branding personality can be a couple of different things. I always like to say start in threes because you don't want to be the jack of all trades. People don't take you seriously when you do that, but you do want to be consistent and have something that you can talk about boring. So maybe your branding, if you are, you know, a new married millennial, can be family, can be, you know, do it yourself in home decor. It can be you and your husband doing stuff. If you are someone that wants to have like a work-life balance, like a lawyer, you can have your lawyering, your style, and then you can always do something else that you like, maybe an extracurricular or family or exploring the city. You want to think of things that not only you can talk about and you can post, but you also want to be thinking of things that you can find sponsors for and content and partnerships, because that's the name of the game. So a lot of times people are like, Danielle, like, I don't want to do clothes because I just feel like everybody's doing clothes. But you're human. So I would push back and say you can do a style of the day or something like that, because at the end of the day, you have to find something that your followers can not only love you and know you and respect you enough to buy something from, but that they can do as well. So for me, what I like to do is I actually have two brands at this point, but my brands are one, lifestyle, which kind of helps me to when I do events and or style, but then it's also very techy. So I'm able to push different themes, web design, apps, things that make sense because I'm doing it every day. And then I'm able to go ahead and do like the beauty and the lifestyle, because at the end of the day, this is just what's popping right now. And if you're Black in America with an iPhone, this is something that you need to do. So within that realm of what's popping, figure out how you can differentiate. The next thing I want you guys to do is I want you to really start thinking about your branding vision board. So your branding vision board will be things that you want So maybe what your type of client looks like, what your goals are for the next 6 months or the next year. You really want to map that out so that you can start making real actionable goals and making headway to it. So if your goal is to maybe get 10,000 followers on LinkedIn, then you're going to have to start getting about 300 to 500 followers each month. That's something that you can do, and then you can then figure out what kind of content you're going to put out to make sure that people are not only engaging in your content, but are understanding how you are a subject matter expert. The last thing I want you guys to do is I really want you guys to start looking into how to make your own graphics and looking at tools that you can start doing to jazz yourself up. So if you're looking for information about that, all you need to do is go to averageblackgirl.com, and under the resources for bloggers, I have my toolbox. So you'll be able to see all the apps that I use, all the tools that I use, and these things are tested. So I wouldn't put anything that I haven't tested or used myself on it, because at the end of the day, I want you to not only utilize my blog and my site, but I want you to trust me and build rapport. I'd rather give you free good information so that you'll actually buy the stuff that I'm selling than for you to just try something and hate it. And that's the same type of voice that you want to have for your brand as well. So I would definitely have you guys think about who you are, what you want the world to know you as, and I want you to not only do that, but I want you to find 3 industry leaders. The thing that is super great about branding and social media is that you really don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can find 3 to 4 people that you really like and find who you are out of those people. Nothing is new under the sun, not even these new artists. So you can definitely go ahead and do the same thing. If you have any questions, definitely reach out at danielle@averageblackgirl.com. So Leslie and Chris, I just want to thank you so much for joining me and dropping so many gems. I really enjoyed you guys. And thank you so much for explaining to everyone about branding. Leslie talking about hip hop. And Chris, yes, your commentary was so necessary and useful. All right, my above average crew, you can reach me on my websites at averageblackgirl.com and my blog and lifestyle website at DanielleAMitchell.com. You can reach me on Facebook and Instagram at Average Black Girl and on Twitter at ABG Girl. And you can reach me on Pinterest at A Black Girl 2015. I will talk to you soon. Bye.